Since When Am I Faust? Chapter 10, Part 2. Unfortunately for me, it didn't take long for me to get lost as I aimlessly wandered through the streets. Walking along, I passed by a bank, and a little further down the main street, I passed by what looked to be Canterlot City's library. I gave a quick smile as I passed by, as I wondered just how much time Sparklebutt had spent her life in that building. Following the roadway, I soon found myself to be walking through a shopping district. Although it was still quite early in the day, it was already bustling with activity.
Free samples! Come get your free samples!
A voice called out, and my ears perked up as I heard that precious word. The promise of free food was always a nice one, but it also brought me a sense of hunger that I hadn't noticed until now. I glanced around and spotted a food stand not too far away from me. Standing there was a young colt working with an older pony. It was most likely his father, and he had the job of calling out to attract customers. Unfortunately for him, most of the city ponies were in a routine of ignoring the sounds around them as they continued on their way unaware. While I stood a little ways off, I gave a curious smile and headed over. They had small skewers displayed on the tray of samples. They had mango slices and strawberries stacked on them, and they all had a light dusting of icing sugar on them. Standing close by, I caught a whiff of the sweet snack and my mouth began to water. I longed for something good, something sweet, or really anything other than hospital food. Honestly, out of all the things that it could have been, why was bad food at a hospital an undeniable fact of the multiverse? As I asked myself that question, I suddenly felt the urge to look up. And that's when I noticed that the colt had spotted me eyeing the snacks. He picked up a skewer in his magic and held it out to me, asking,
"Would you like to try one, miss?"
My ears twitched as I realized that I had been caught, and with a sheepish smile, not thinking too much, I grabbed the skewer in my magic and thanked him sincerely. I then walked away without much more being said, and the colt went back to work. He called out, looking for others to try the treat, but then a moment later, he turned around with a confused expression. Looking down the street, he tried to see the red-maned Pegasus, but the mare was nowhere to be seen.
How did she do that?
A little ways away, I walked into a round courtyard and sat down on a nearby park bench. Grabbing the skewer with my hoof, I gave it a try. It was very sweet and the snack disappeared too fast. With a shrug and a disappointed frown, I tossed the stick into a nearby trash can. Reclining on the park bench, I looked at the bustling city around me as it came to life. The majority of ponies were out and about, and I couldn't help but find the whole sight somewhat entertaining. Through the street, I spotted a mare leading a group of children through the crowd of ponies. She was a green Pegasus and sounded young. The group headed closer to me, and stood a little ways away as they looked in my direction. The mare leading the kids then threw her hoof out in front of her and said,
"Now students, this is a very important pony. Does any pony know who it is?"
I suddenly felt quite self-conscious and began looking around in confusion. Curious, I looked to the side, and out of the corner of my eye, I was a little surprised to see a statue of a mare in the center of a water fountain. Turning in my seat, I looked at the sculpture properly. I noticed it was an alicorn standing on her hind legs. Her head was looking down, and a somber expression was on her face. It stood nearly 20 feet tall and had a large base. The statue looked familiar. Very familiar. I turned, facing forward again as I asked my passenger,
"Hey, Lauren? Is that you?" "I think it is."
I took another glance at the tall, slender statue and then looked down at myself and my average height. I smirked and whispered,
"Wow, you got short in your old age."
"Hey, I didn't get short, I just expelled most of my magic getting here. I was as tall as Tia before I met you."
"So you're like a balloon?"
"I am not a balloon!"
I began to laugh.
"Oh, you're a magical pony balloon!"
"I am not."
"Hey, if you take in too much magic, do you pop? Will you stop already?"
Using her admin privileges against me, the alicorn took over and bonked her head with her hoof. A moment later, I sat there holding my aching head as I gave a sheepish grin.
"Sorry, ma'am."
In response, she gave an amused grunt, and I shook my head with a faint smile. Glancing back at the class of students, I listened in, as they tried to guess who the statue represented. The colts and fillies threw out several guesses, but none quite hit the marker. Rather than a specific name, they would come up with generalities such as hope, harmony, rulership, and so on. The teacher clapped her four hoofs together, and thanked the students for their guesses.
"Yes, all excellent answers. However, this statue is a representation of one particular mare. She is known throughout history as the Fausticorn."
"Fausticorn? Is that what they're calling me?"
With a shrug of my wings, I glanced to the side, whispering,
"Well, I mean, it kind of fits."
I didn't get any response, but a wave of embarrassment washed over me. Listening to the lesson, the teacher continued,
"Some say that she's the mother of the Royal Sisters, but no pony has been able to confirm it. Others say that she was a contemporary of Gusty the Great. But one thing we do know is according to the records of Starswell the Bearded, she was the sole pony responsible for Equestria being what we know today."
As we listened, I found myself intrigued, curious about what must have happened in the past. Then my thoughts were interrupted by the sound of laughing coming from the recesses of my mind.
What's up? Tough Star Swirl finally grew a beard!
Came the giggling pony's response, and I shook my head, rolling my eyes with a smile. The teacher then reached into her saddlebags and pulled out what looked like a camera. Pulling a tab at the corner, she wound the film roll inside and took to the air as she looked through the viewfinder.
Okay, class, every pony smile at the camera.
The class collected together and looked towards her with smiles stretched across their faces. Seeing that she wasn't going to be in the shot, I got up without really thinking and approached the mare.
Excuse me?
I said, and the pony looked up from her camera.
Would you like me to take the picture for you?
I asked. The teacher glanced at me with a bemused expression, and then a look of gratitude crossed her face as she realized what I was asking.
Oh, thank you.
She said, then gave me her camera. Running over to stand with her class, the Pegasus joined the shot and I quickly looked the device over, being that it was an older style model than what I was used to. Figuring it out, I aimed the shot and instructed the ponies to get closer together. When I had everyone in the shot, I put my wing up as if to say,
okay, stay there.
Then began counting.
3, 2, 1.
The ponies let themselves relax, and the teacher made her way over to me to retrieve her camera. As she approached me, her head tilted slightly, and she said,
you know, you look so familiar to me.
I raised my eyebrows.
Do I? Yes, but I can't put my hoof on it. Do I know you from somewhere? Yeah, I think maybe you do.
I said, giving back the camera. She gave me a confused frown as she continued trying to place me. I smiled, then turned to leave. I spun around and taking a step forward, I bumped into an agitated Luna. With a startled gasp, the teacher and her students quickly bowed, as did the rest of the ponies standing around us. Following the crowd's example, I bowed and gave my respects. As I kept my head low, I felt the princess's gaze burn into me. She let a moment pass, then she stated,
your disguise is pathetic. You only hid your horn. Oh, crap.
Standing up, I looked at the princess with a sheepish expression and rubbed my forehoof against the other.
Hi, Luna.
My sudden casual demeanor caused the ponies around to look on with confused expressions, and they watched in anticipation as the princess stared down the red-haired Pegasus.
Yes, hello. It is so nice to see that you are getting your rest and are recovering comfortably.
Her tone was slow, calm, and collected, and somehow it frightened me. Straightening up, I looked around nervously.
Yes, rest. You know, I heard the fresh air is perfect for one's recovery.
Luna raised an eyebrow.
Oh, is that so?
She took a step forward, and I took a step back. Glancing to either side, I spotted Celestia and Cadence walking towards us with drinks in their grasp, and they shared startled expressions upon seeing me. Onlookers became intrigued at the scene playing out before them, and my ears folded back in embarrassment.
Yeah, I also heard that running is good for one's health too. Really?
The princess hardened her gaze, and I scrunched up my muzzle. Then with a sudden jolt, I turned and began running. As if on cue, Luna launched forward and tried to bite at my tail, but she missed. I managed to make it into the crowd of stunned ponies. My small form swerved quickly in between them, but then a blue alicorn parted through the ponies like walking through tall grass, and she said in an irritated tone,
Mom, you get back here right now! No, don't make me go back to that boring place!
I begged as I swerved through the crowd of ponies. Some protested as I pushed past them, but others merely stared in shock as the princess chased after a pony. In my attempts to escape my coming doom, I turned a sharp corner and dove right into an alleyway. While I ran through the center, Cadence and Celestia walked into view at the other end. Jumping up, I ran onto one wall and then hopped to the other, as I vaulted over the two. The princesses simply watched, drinking their shakes as they went past. Luna had to skid to a stop to avoid running into the other two, and she glanced at her sister with an irritated frown.
Tia, will you please stop stuffing your face and help me?
The solar princess took a sip from her drink and then let out a sigh.
Oh, alright.
She let up her horn, and a moment later, from down the street, a shout of,
oh, that's bullshit!
Echoed between the buildings. The alicorn in disguise was then forcefully dragged back to the group.
Ow, 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 at least don't drag me by my mane!
Thankfully, she listened to my complaint, and Tia tossed me up into a bubble of her magic. I floated above the princesses with crossed forehoofs and a grumpy frown on my face. Looking down at Celestia, I grumbled,
you cheated!
To which Tia looked back at me. She took a sip from her drink, then stuck at her tongue, saying,
well, you never said that there were any rules. Oh, man.
They dragged me back to the hospital, and the doctors checked over me for any further injuries. Thankfully, there were none, and they had discharged me within the hour. By midday, I stood back in my room. I took in a deep breath, filling my nose with the scent that the room had come to know and love. It was a smell of parchment and expensive woods. I took a moment to acknowledge how comforting that mix had become to be. Tia and Lulu were with me, walked past, and crawled into my bed. Their exhaustion finally caught up with them. Somehow seeing them like this seemed relatively peaceful, and I couldn't help but wonder what those two were like when they were fillies. The thought made me smile, and somehow I knew my co-pilot was smiling too. I laid down, and took an afternoon nap as well. It only seemed like a few minutes passed, but the sound of a click at the door woke me up. I cracked an eye open, only to see the doors of my room burst open. I watched as 30 or more servants flooded into the room.
Your Highnesses, you must get up, you need to be ready!
One servant announced. Their maids practically swarmed the two princesses. The poor Alicorns didn't even get to wake up before they were dragged out of bed. Both of them made a loud thud as they fell onto the floor. Sets of one or two unicorns straightened them up in their magic, and their royal regalia were slapped onto them. I watched, horrified by the swarm. They tossed the two half-asleep princesses into the oversized chairs that they had brought them, and then began their makeup attack. I was so thankful that I hadn't been singled out yet, and I had no intention of being part of this. So while the maids were distracted, I scampered off of the bed and found a spot at the end of the room. Unfortunately for me, all the doors and windows seemed to be blocked by the vast number of makeup artists. So, I headed the corner of the room, hoping that I'd remain unseen. I was confused. What was with us all of a sudden? Why were we getting ready? What was it for? I was so focused on the unanswered questions that laid in my mind that I didn't even notice my three attendants push their way into the room. They had a large suitcase with pictures of hairbrushes and other makeup products on them, and as soon as I saw it, dread filled my heart. Really isn't nothing like some good makeup, unless it's being forced on you, then that sucks. Anyways, let's get on to our beautiful donators. Top donators are 630, Peter Coldhard, J10 Man, Darkseid, and Only One Thing. Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Rollins, CrazyColor557, Stu Hex, Sword Brother and Mordred, Omicron Library, Will, Chris, Twinkie, Hudzaza, Dosbo, and many more fantastic people. Thank you all so much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.